You are listening to a presentation of Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, go to streamschurch.org. And now, Pastor Lloyd Baker.
It's our final installment of the book of Joshua. So today we're going to be Joshua 23 and 24. 14 weeks we've been in Joshua, and God's been doing something powerful at our church. I think people, we've been asking from the beginning of this year, what would God be saying to you no matter where you're at in your journey for the next step for you? We've been seeing people do that. Like I said, with Vacation Bible School, our per capita for giving per person has gone up. People are getting involved. There's still room. We have plenty of places to get involved. But I thank God for that. I'm believing for more and more things. In my journey, I've been taking steps up. And that's the whole concept of Joshua. So we come out of slavery into something where God's going to do victories in our life. And we really want that. So we skipped over, we were in Joshua 20 last week. We're going to skip over Joshua 21. Joshua 21 is the list of all the cities that were given to the Levites. The Levites were the priests of the day, or what we would consider the pastors of the day. They were all given cities. If you want to read that, you can go read that. It's a little bit on the tedious side, to be honest with you. And then Joshua chapter 22 is out the 2.5 tribes that, remember, they had settled east of the Jordan. But what did God say to the 2.5 tribes? That before you take your land, you must go into the promised land with the rest of your brothers and sisters. You must fight all the fight until they come into peace and they have their promised land. And at that moment, when that happens, you can return. So Joshua chapter 2 is, they get to return to the east side of the Jordan. And feel free to read that also. We're going to be Joshua 23 and 24 if you have your Bibles. Here we go. This is verse 1. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am very old, you, in case you didn't notice. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. I love this because, number one, he's very honest and open about things, and he just states the obvious. I'm very old. And he's letting him know, this is sort of the end. He's doing the Frank Sinatra, and now the end is near, you know. Except he changes it. I did it God's way. This is sort of his Frank Sinatra, okay, ending to his life. So he comes to them and he says, look, I'm getting old, and that's a surreal moment. Don't be laughing at me, okay? That's a surreal a surreal moment for his followers. I mean, I just was with Floyd, who's been so instrumental in my life. And there gets that place when somebody who's discipled you or mentored you, a father figure in your life, they get to that place and, you know, they say, hey, I get it. I'm about to move on. Now I'm going to tell you some things. And those moments and those times, when if you knew those were some of the last words you would ever hear, you'd be very attentive, wouldn't you, to what he's about to say. So it's a surreal moment for all of them. And he starts off, I love this, in very honest and humility. He says, listen, I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be here if the Lord God did not fight for you. He's the reason why we're here, and he did it for your sake. And now he says, God did it all, and let me tell you why he did it. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for you, for your tribes, all the lands of the nations that remain. The nations I conquered between Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord, your God himself, will push them out for whose sake? For your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord, your God promise you. And everything you need to know about God can be summed up in this very simple concept. God so loved the world that he created a man and a woman that he knew would disobey him. God so loved the world that when he probably should have wiped out humanity because they'd gone so far astray, he decided to create an ark and create a family. Because he said, I want to keep this going. He could have said, you know what, my bad. Didn't go the way I thought so. Bad experience. But then he said, no, I love the world so much. I want to be in relationship so much. He gave a second chance. He loved us so much that he chose a nation that would be his nation. Even though he knew that they would vacillate between love and hate for their entire history. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son to die for the sins of the world. For your sins and my sins. He created a concept called mercy. where he loved you even though you deserved not to be loved. He gave you grace, where he says, I'm going to give you my favor even though you did nothing to earn it. I'm going to give you forgiveness. And everything you've done before, present, and in the future will be wiped clean. The slate was wiped clean. I forgive you. And salvation. God loved this world so much that he created heaven so he could spend an eternity with us. That's how much he loved us. And he's saying, listen, why did God do all this? So he can get the fame and the glory, all these. No, he did it for your sake. The promise is for you. He says, before I go into anything else, before I make my speech, I want to make it very, very clear. God loves you and did this all for you. Everything that's happened, it's to his glory. He begins to reminisce a little bit about the journey they were on. Be very strong and be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. I love this. And they saw this happen. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord, your God, fights for you just, you see, and there's a theme here, as he promised. And just so you know, Johnny sent the email list for the songs this week. I had no idea he was going to pick this song. I never even heard this song. And I'm working on the message, and he's working on the song. I think God's trying to say something just as he promised. He begins to reminisce. He's going back. It's 50 years he goes back. He was 60 years old when God said, go into the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, he said to him, I'm sure he thought, I don't know if the promise is ever going to be fulfilled. I've been in the wilderness for 40 years. God said to him, be strong, right? And very courageous, for I am with you. Be strong and courageous. And the people responded back to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And now he's about to depart. He's about to check out. And the thing he says is the very thing that God said 50 years earlier. The promise doesn't change. You be strong. You be courageous. Because God has done this for you. He will continue to do this for you. And then he goes into a bit of a rant. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. So be careful, very careful, to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord God has given you. And he's like this good father. He knows he's not going to really be able to speak to them much. And so it's like, you know, when your child first gets to drive, you say, now listen, when you go out there, you got to be very careful. I know, Dad, I'll be careful. You know what I mean? When you're out there, don't be... checking out your phone, okay? I know. Don't text while you're driving. I get it. Don't text when you're driving. I mean, don't look down if somebody sends you a Facebook. I know. Don't look down when in fact, you can just put your phone aside somewhere over here and like that. I know that. Don't get distracted. I mean, he's just saying, don't you. It's sort of like that father, and you're like, I get it. Don't follow other gods, okay? You can stop. But he's saying something because this is his last words, and he's just so concerned about where they might go. Now, here's the very, very interesting thing about this. It's a bit of a conundrum. Because he just said, the Lord your God has driven out all the people before you. All these nations, he's driven out of the land. But you know, there was one entire tribe that remained in the land. Remember who they were? They were the Gibeonites. They were still there. Why were the Gibeonites there? Because they deceived Joshua, and he made an oath to them that he kept. There was one whole tribe that was going to remain with them, who brought their gods, who brought all the idols that they had. And it's an interesting thing, because Joshua's saying this. He goes, I know I made a mistake. They're not supposed to be here. I know they can pollute you. Please, for my sake, don't let that happen. I've let that, and I think one of the greatest things, and I've said this to you in the past, that a father or a father figure or a mentor can do is understand the very things in their life that maybe they have a tendency to do wrong. I think one of the greatest gifts that I gave my oldest daughter was a little more like me in personality. When she sort of swung back the axe head could fly off. I don't remember that a couple of weeks ago. And my axe head can fly off sometimes. And so I knew that about her, and I began to understand that, and God began to give me health in that. And I began to say to her, you know, if you keep doing it that way, it's going to cause issues in your life. You're going to have problems in relationships. And I began to help her when she was 15, 16, 17, start to navigate those areas. And I think it's the greatest gift that we can have is to become to know ourselves, know our pluses and our minuses, and in those areas, speak to our children, begin to guide them and direct them and say, you know what, I want you to start a lot farther down the road than I had to start. And Joshua's saying this, I understand what happened, but listen, don't let this affect you. And he goes on about this. Going on in the scripture, he goes to chapter 24. Well, let me explain this. Chapter 24 is interesting because he has two different speeches he gives. He gives them to the leaders of the land. So he gives it to them, and it's almost like he brings them back again and says the same thing over again. That's how passionate he is about this message. So he says in 24, after telling them all the great things that God has done for him, he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped before the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But, I love this, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. How many of you have seen little plaques like that? Maybe you have a plaque in your house. You know, that you buy them at the Christian bookstores, or you can buy them online now. And maybe you walk into somebody's house, and right on the door frame before you go, and it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some people get married and buy those, and they just, I mean, we're just going to make a declaration right here. What's really interesting to me is, Joshua's not going to be living in any houses. He's going to be in a box down in the grave. I mean, he's not going home to put up the plaque and the little thing. Look what I bought, honey. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He's moving on. You know who he's speaking about prophetically? He's speaking over his heritage. He's saying, listen, I have served the Lord and I claim this for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. My house will be a house that will be known for serving the Lord. And I tell you, if you're a grandma or a grandpa here or a great-grandmother or a great-grandfather, you understand this right now. Because one of the greatest passions in your life is to pray that prayer. Lord, may my children, and I pray over Sarah, Father, and Shinsuke, and Brittany, and her future husband, which will be a nice guy, and will love Jesus or will be dead. His choice. I pray over him. And I pray over little Jade, who's 3. And Riley, who's 1. As for me and my household, I am praying prophetically, they will serve the Lord. I think it's awesome. Here's a man who's about to pass on, and he's just speaking to generations. I am claiming this for my family. He prays it that way. He's setting them up there. I think it's an interesting verbiage that he uses. He tells them all the great things that God has done. He says, but if you know all about that and serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, after everything he's done for you, if that seems undesirable for you, okay. And he's beginning to stir up the pot a little bit, and you're going to show you why here. Going on. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us up and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is God. Joshua answers, you're not able to serve the Lord. He knows something that they don't know. He knows how holy God is, and He knows how jealous God is. And He knows something. They're saying it with their lips. They're saying, but they're not quite getting it. And his passion, before he checks out, is for them to get it. He said, if you really knew how holy God is and how jealous he is, he doesn't want just a little bit of it. He wants all of it. He's not, this is a time, I don't have much time left. I'm in a desperate situation. Please understand, he loves you and he's all powerful. He doesn't want a little bit, he wants all of it. And I want to say something right now. I'm of the opinion right now in this world, it is a desperate time. I'm not 110, I'm about half of that, but I'm here to say, it's time to take this serious. And Joshua is setting that up, saying, hey, you know what? Time for playing games is over. I don't think you can do that. Again, you go, I don't think you can do that, all right? He will not forgive you rebellion in your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. This commitment is deep. He goes on. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, he said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. He's setting them up because he knows something. He knows there's still idols out there. He knows they're still worshiping false gods. He said it twice now. Get rid of these things. So he's setting them up to make this big commitment. He goes, yes, we will. He goes, then you know what? It's time to leave that past behind. It's time to go to greater things. You got to move on. You got to get rid of that stuff. It's time to get serious. And this is a man who's so passionate because he loves these people and wants them to prosper. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord and obey him. And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And I love this part. Next verse. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Okay, I'm going to write it all down. You said it. I'm not going to be around, but there's going to be paper. Then he took a large stone and he set it up under the oak nearby the holy place of the Lord. He goes, see, he said to the people, I'm not going to be here, but this stone's going to be here as a witness against us. The stone has heard all the words of the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then he finally is done with his speech. He dismissed them, the people, back to their own inheritance. I think that Joshua began to reminisce. This is his last speech. He's speaking the last time to the people. He's led them for 50 years, victory after victory after victory after victory. I'm sure he goes back to Joshua chapter 1 when he was 60. He probably goes back to when he was 20 years old and he remembers, I went in with 12 spies, me and 11 other people, and we came out and Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that gave a good report. I gave a good report, but the other people gave a bad report. Because of the fear that they put in the people's heart, we weren't able to go in the promised land for 40 years, and I wondered if it would ever happen. I wondered if God would ever do it. And all of a sudden, 40 years later, I'm 60 years old, God says, be strong and courageous. And we went through the Jordan, it split, and we went up to Jericho, and we tore it down. That was our first victory, and he begins to build this excitement that God is doing something powerful. He goes to the small town of Ai and gets wiped out. Didn't see that one coming. Part of the journey. It's like, wow, how did that happen? I thought. And he realizes there's sin in the camp, so he takes care and he deals with that issue. And all of a sudden the Gibeonites show up and he doesn't inquire of the Lord. He makes a mistake. This is all a part of his journey. And then he goes on. And as he goes on, things are happening in life like they do, right? And then victory after victory, and God begins to do it. And he finally had a place at the end of his life where he can look back. We're going to have the worship team come forward. I forgot to call these guys forward. He can look back and say, I want to tell you something. I'm about to leave this land, and before I do, I want to make a declaration to you. And this is his declaration to the people. Now, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. He says, I'm taking assessment of everything that's happened in all of our lives for the last 110 things. And if I can sum it up in one statement, this is it. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. I'm sure there were times he doubted. I'm sure there were times in defeat he wasn't sure. But now he can stand before the people and say, if you'll serve the Lord, I promise you this. All the good promises the Lord your God has given you, they will come to pass. Would you stand with me right now? God's word is true. He is not a man. He does not lie. He doesn't change his mind. If he has spoken it, it comes true. So Joshua says this. He says, I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. Sing it again. I your promises. My confidence, yes Lord, is your faithfulness.
You've been listening to a message from Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. Email any questions to streamschurch@msn.com. The mission of Streams Church is very simple, to lead people into their life calling, a relationship with Jesus Christ that is challenging, growing, and purposeful. For more information about service times, location, or events, go to streamschurch.org.